today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. Welcome back, everyone. Maybe tomorrow I'll try to do a Zoom. This way you go on the computer if people want that. You could see each other, see those who want. It might be a little bit clearer on the audio. Let's see what the interest is on that. But let's begin the daf Yud Aleph. So we got three lines down. The Gemara quotes from Amar Rava Bar Mechasya that they were going through now a series of statements in the name of Rava Bar Mechasya. And the first statement the Gemara says here in daf Yud Aleph is Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav. Kol ir shigago se'a gvoen mi beis haknesses. Any city where the rooftops of the various houses are higher up than that of the shul, lasof chareva. In the end, this type of city is going to get destroyed. Shenemar says in the pasuk in Ezra, lerome mes beis elokeinu, to elevate the beis elokeinu, the beis haknesses, ulahamid es charvosav, and to preserve the destruction, v'laseis lanu ged de b'Yehuda b'Yishlaim. If you want the walls to stay up of Yehuda and Yishlaim, it has to be where the base Elokeinu, the base Knesset, is higher up than that of the rest of the houses. So the Gemara says, V'hani mili, this is only true b'batim when it comes to houses where people use the rooftops on the houses, and therefore it would be problematic, it would be inappropriate to plan the rooftops when it's above the height of the base Knesset. Aval b'kishkushi vav ravervei, which are types of either towers or some decorations on top of the house, where maybe antennas of some sort, these are not places that people use, and less than above, that's not subject to the Isser. The Isser here is only true when they're using the rooftops that are above the base Knesset. But if the areas that are above, but they're not usable, that's not Bechlal, the Pasuk in Ezra. So Amar Vashi says, Ana Avdi L'Masa Mechasya, he made sure in Masa Machasya, where he was the Rosh Hashiva, D'Locharva, he ensured that Masa Machasya wouldn't get destroyed. In other words, he ensured that the base Knesset was the highest point in the entire city. So the Gemara says, Vaha Harva, but it was destroyed. We know there's no Masa Machas anymore, so it was destroyed at some point over time, so it didn't work. And so the Gemara says, May also Avon Lo Harva. It wasn't destroyed because of that city, because of that Aveira, rather. It wasn't destroyed because the houses were higher up than the shul. It was destroyed for some other reason, but not because of the base Knesses. And that was what Rav Ashi ensured to do. So this is an interesting question, whether or not this din applies B'chutz La'art as well. And Rav Yasha writes that there are a number of reasons why this din does not apply b'chutz l'aretz. So one explanation he says, based on the Tosfos, is that this whole concept that the houses, the rooftop of the houses, may not be higher than that of a shul, is only true when you're talking about a flat roof where you're able to use the top. But when the rooftops are slanted, where you can't use it, so it's not b'chlal this concern, and even though the rooftops are higher than the base knesset, since it's not usable, it's not b'chlal isser. So many places in chutz l'aretz, there's slanted rooftops. So that's one reason why this doesn't apply. Second reason Rav Yashar says is because outside of Eretz Yisrael, the rule was that the church, or the other type of house of worship, or the non-Jewish house of worship, had to be the highest point of the city. So once that was the highest part of the city, so it's Mimela higher than the base Knesset, it wouldn't be an issue that the personal houses are higher than the base Knesset either, and therefore it's not subject to this particular Yisrael. So back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says around 10 lines down, it quotes another statement, Vamar Rav Rava bar Mechasya Amarav, Chava bar Guria Amarav, Tachas Yishmael vel Tachas Nachar. That it's better to be under the ruling of Yishmael, the Muslims, vel Tachas Nachri. But the Nachri, Rashi says, the Stam Nachri is referring to Edom under Esav. Esav is much more ruthless than that of Yishmael. And Tachas Nachri vel Tachas Chabar. Chabar is some type of Persian nation. Tosis and Rashi go to town about which nation this particularly is, but it's better to be Tachas Nachri, better to be under the ruling of the Edomi than Tachas Chaber. They were more ruthless than Edomi. And Tachas Chaber, better to be under the ruling of Chaber, velo Tachas Tamil Chacham. Why is that? Because Rashi explains, if a person starts up with the Tamil Chacham, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ensure that there's going to be punishment for those who begin with the Tamil Chacham. So even though the Tamil Chacham himself certainly won't be ruthless like the other nations of the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge out of respect for the Tamil Chacham. A scary statement. And then the Gemara says, Tachas Tamil Chacham, lo Tachas Yasin Ve'amana. Better to be under the ruling and in the fear and danger in the presence of a Tamil Chacham than to be Tachas Yasin Ve'amana, because there, the cries that they have, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that he carries out punishment for those who don't treat the Almana and Yasam properly. Next statement the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Bar Mechasi, V'amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, V'amar Rav Kol Choli V'lo Choli Mehem. That certainly people don't have the choice of what type of illnesses that one would lo aleinu get, but what they're describing here is better to have an illness, but any illness is better than the illness of a stomach pains. The stomach pains is so powerful, so strong, that's the worst type of illness. The Gemara then says, "Kol ka'ev velo ka'ev lev." A person should take any type of pain, but the pain of a heart attack of some sort, that's the worst. And kol meichash, any type of discomfort, velo meichash rosh. But to have a headache, that's the worst type of a pain. Kol ra velo ishara. Any evil a person's willing to take, but to have an ishara, an evil wife, that's the worst type of ra that's out there. Next statement. Amar Rava bar Michasi, Amar Rav Chama bar Guria, Amar Rav, im yihu kol hayamim dio. Let's say, for example, all the waters in the world are considered ink. And the agamim kolmusim, and all the different reeds in the swamps are considered the little feather, the reed to write, the pen. The shemaim yirios, and imagine the entire sky of the world is considered the cloth to write on. So you have seemingly an incredible amount of ink, an incredible amount of parchment, an incredible amount of pens. V'chol b'nei adam lavlarin, and the billions of people in the world are the sofrim, they're the writers. So you have a whole industry of people writing in unlimited ink and parchment and so on. Ein maspikin lichtova chalala sharishus. It's impossible to understand the inside, the depth, the mind, what goes on the king, what it takes to be the king, what it takes to be the president, so many different factors to have to evaluate, to assess, and to balance. It's impossible to know what's going on in his mind. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, chalala sharishus, omek libam, the depth of the heart of a governor, of a king, of a president. He has to be aware of all the tax collecting. He has to be aware of all the fighting and the strategy. He has to be aware of all the different judgments. This is all in one day. To write everything in one day with billions of people and billions of amounts of ink and parchment would be impossible to cover this all in one day because there's so much that a king needs to pee on top of. So my crow, what's a pasuk that supports this? Amar Rav Misharsha, Shemaim Larum, Veretz La'omek, V'lei Malachim Ein Cheker. The Shemaim is very, very high, and the land is very, very deep. But the heart of a Melach Ein Cheker, there's no way to quantify what goes on in the mind and the heart of a Melach. V'amar Rav Amar Bechasya, next statement in his name, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav Yofeh, Tainis L'chalom Ke'esh L'Noris. So beneficial, we saw this already in Gemara Brachos, and it comes a few other places in Shas. So beneficial is a fast to a bad dream, just like fire burns hay or straw pretty quickly. Straw is pretty flammable, very flammable, so fast day is also very effective to a bad dream. A person has a nightmare, so he should fast the next day, and it's going to wipe out, it's going to destroy such a bad dream. So Amar Rav Chisra says, Uboba Yom has to be the very day where you wake up. It can't be a couple days later, it can't be when it's convenient for you, it can't be in the winter when the days are shorter. Whenever a person has a nightmare, the effective way to burn it, to get rid of it, is to fast that very day. Amar Rav Yosef, Vafilu B'Shabbos, this is true even on Shabbos, even though a person must eat on Shabbos, must have three meals on Shabbos, must have owning Shabbos, if there's a nightmare he has Friday night, he wakes up, he should fast even on Shabbos to get rid of that bad dream. So Rabbi Shua Berei, the Rav Idi, Ikle Lebe Rav Ashi. One time Rabbi Shua was visiting the house of Rav Ashi, and of delay, Igla Tilsa, he was making some type of special cow, and Amri Le, they said to him, Little Marmide, would you taste a little bit something? Have something to eat? Please join me. So Amri Lehu, he says, Betainis Yasivna, I'm Osik in a Tainis, I'm fasting. Amri Le, Velo Savar Le Mar, Leha, the Rav Yehuda, do you not hold the Rav Yehuda statement? Amri Rav Yehuda, Lo ve'adam taniso uparer. You're allowed to borrow a tainis and make it up another day. Meaning, break the fast now. I'm serving you a delicious meal, and you make it up a different day. You're able to switch around tainis. It's not a big deal. Amar lahu, he says no. Rabbi Shua explains, but tainis chalom hu. This was a tainis chalom. I had a bad dream last night. I had a nightmare last night. So I have to v'amar rava bar mechaz. Amar rava chama bar guria. Amar rav yafet tainis lechalom. So effective is a fast to a dream. Kesh l'nuores. It's so effective, like a straw, so flammable. V'amar Rav Chisda uvoba yom, and on that day, v'amar Rav Yosef afilu b'Shabbos. So therefore, since he was in the midst of a fast, he couldn't break the fast. He had to fast that day because it's so effective. Gemara now says that v'mischilu. So we're now going back. Well, one quick statement before we go weiter. Sorry that he spoke on the top of the page here about the Indian of using the rooftops and stuff. So there's an interesting discussion that comes up from the Mordechai, whether or not you're allowed to use the rooftops of a Beis Knesset. And he's not sure. It implies that, from the Gemara, it seems that one would not be able to use the rooftops of a shul. But he goes, just connects it to a very small point here, that in the Beis Hamikdash, which of course is a model for all the small Mikdash Ma'ats, all the Beis Knesset, the din is that there was no Kedusha on the rooftop of the Beis Hamikdash. So perhaps by a Beis Knesset, there wouldn't be a use, there wouldn't be a Kedusha on the rooftop of a Beis Knesset. Just wanted to say that. The Gemara now says, back inside, we're at the two dots. The Gemara says, that vim hischilu ein mafsikin, but mafsikin the kriyashma. We saw in the Mishnah that if a person was eating a meal or he went to the Beis HaMerachatz, even though he perhaps should have davened before him, if he already started the process, he doesn't need to be mafsik to daven tefillah shmona esrei, but he should, he must stop in order to daven to say kriyashma. So the Gemara says, hatana le'resha, didn't we learn the resha? Ein mafsikin, seifa asan le'devei Torah. We already learned the Mishnah, you're not supposed to stop. So how can the Mishnah repeats again, in mischilu ein mafsikin? We know that. So the Gemara says that Seifa is asking the Divrei Torah. It's referring to Divrei Torah. What does that mean? The Tanya, the Brisa tells us that Chaverim Shayu Oskim B'Torah, the people, the Chaverim, the Chabura, that would be Osek in learning, the Din would be Mafsikin the Kriyashma of Ein Mafsikin Letfila. They have to stop their learning in order to recite Shema, but they don't have to stop learning in order to say Tfila. So while the first half of the Mishnah was talking about if a person went to the Beis HaMerachatz, he was having a Suda, you don't have to be mafsik for Tfila. So by learning Torah as well, you don't have to stop learning to daven either. To say Kriyashma you have to, but not to daven Shemona Esrei. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan says it's not for anyone. Not just anyone could continue to learn in Mis Minyan and Mis Shachris and Min Mincha. It's Loshanu Ela Kigon Rabbi Shimon Yochai, V'chaveirav. It's only true if you're on the level of Rabbi Shimon and his Chabura, Shetarasan Umunasan. That was their life. The life was Torah. They would never take any interruption. So for them, where the Torah is the only thing that they did, so then they were exempt from tefillah. But you and I, the rest of the world, the poskim say bezman hazeh, and no such person exists anymore. So nowadays, everyone has to be mafsik to limud Torah in order to catch a minyan or to daven at least. Aval kagon anu, but we, which is the hamonam, mafsik in the kriyashma ul tefillah. We do interrupt our learning in order to recite shema and also in order to daven. But doesn't the Brisa say, Kishem Shein Mafsikin Latvila, Kachin Mafsikin Lakriyashma? Doesn't the Brisa say, just like we don't interrupt learning to recite Shema, we also don't interrupt in order to daven? So Gemara says, Kitani Ahi B'Ibur Shana. That was a unique case. When it comes to a person learning, a person needs to stop learning so he could say Shema and so he could daven. A person's Osek in Ibur Shana, if you're part of the very Chashiv Chabur of great Rabbanim, who are discussing whether or not this particular year is going to require an extra month, an Ibur Shana, an Adar Sheni, Damar Rav Ad Bar Abba, the Chen Tani Sabi Dagrunya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Sada, Kishayinu Oskin Be Ibur Shana, when we were Osek in Ibur Shana Be Yavna, Lohainu Mafsikin, we did not make any interruptions, Lo Le Kriyashma Vlo Le Tefillah. When something was so important, when something was so communal, when something was so global to the entire world and Klai so throughout the entire world, then it doesn't deserve, one should not take any interruptions. When a person's learning, so then the din would be, since none of us are like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai b'chavei rav, we would have to interrupt both to recite Kriyashma and also in order to recite Shmona Esrei. If you take a quick look over at Tosfos, Tosfos writes, Dibur Masal Kigon Anu Mafsikin Bein LeKriyashma Bein LeTfila. We stop, we interrupt learning to recite Shema and also to dab. V'had Amar Le Rav Zera Le Rabbi Yirmiyah Meser Ozno B'Shmo Torah. We saw in yesterday's daf, the Rebbe Zeira is giving Musa to Rebbe Yehuda, I'm giving you a shir, I'm telling you something, and how can you stop the Torah in order to go daven? So he says that V'yesh Lomar, the Tarasa Ha'isa Umunasa. Rebbe Zeira was of that same category as Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, and his life was Torah, so for him, he didn't have to stop in order to daven. Or Inami, alternatively, the Tosafot suggests, Odain, Lo Ha'isa Shal Alveres. Or it was where there's plenty more time to daven. There's no rush, no urgency to daven right now. That's why I said, Rabbi Yirmiyah, listen to my Chiddush first and then daven afterwards. These were the two explanations suggested by Tosafot. So now we're in the bottom of a Yud Aleph, and Aleph, the new Mishnah begins. Lo Yetzeh Hachayit B'machato Samach L'chashecha. When it comes to a tailor, so one of the primary tools of a tailor was to use a needle. So the Mishnah tells us that lo yetzeh chay b'machto, a tailor shouldn't go out with his needle, holding a needle. A samech l'chashech on Erev Shabbos, why not? Shema v'yishkach v'yetzeh, perhaps he's going to forget and not pay attention because he's so used to carrying a needle. Maybe the sun's going to set, and he'll continue to carry it by rote and end up carrying on Shabbos. Similarly, the Gemara says, lo halavlar b'kumoso, neither should a sofer carry his ink, because here too, he might end up forgetting that Shabbos and carrying it on Shabbos. Lo yifale es kalev, a person should not burn off the lice. If he has lice on his clothing, you shouldn't burn this off, and we'll see in the Gemara what exactly that is at the Erev Shabbos as well. Shelo yikra lo haner, and we'll learn on Shabbos itself. We'll also learn this later on in the parak, that a person should not be using a candle in order to learn by, because you might end up adjusting the flame so you could see better. And in doing so, moving the olive oil, the oil there, you're going to cause havar, you're going to cause the flame to burn more, perhaps burn less. So therefore, a person should not learn about the candle. Be'emes Amru was said, in truth, hachazen, when it comes to a chazen, or perhaps the Rebbe, that the roeh, hechanetinokos, karin, avalhu lo yikra. But when it comes to, they had school, they had yeshiva on Shabbos, so then the young boys were chazering their kriya, so then in that case, the chazan, the Rebbe's allowed to go checking on them to see if they're in the right spot. Then he could use a candle. Why? Because since the tinokos, the children, are so scared of the Rebbe, they're going to make sure not to adjust it. So while the Rebbe could use it to see what they're up to, the children are up to, he himself can't use it for himself, because there's no one to watch over him. Only the children are allowed to, because they're scared of the Rebbe. Hayotibo, in a similar way, just like we just listed a series of different dinim, whereby we created a gzera, lest something happens carrying a needle in Erev Shabbos, or carrying a pen in Erev Shabbos. So too, the Mishnah concludes, Hayotibo, in a different context, completely different context, Layocha Azavim Azava, Azav and Azava, a man and woman who are both tamei, they should not eat together b'nei herga avera. Perhaps it might lead to an avera. We'll see this in the Gemara as well, I think, on tomorrow's daf. So this is a series of different dinim that are, for the most part, relevant on Erev Shabbos. There's a very interesting Tosfos here. Take a look at Tosfos Shema Yishach V'Yatza. Tosfos writes, Aliba Durava, the Amar Lo Gazu Gzeira L'Gzeira. We know there's a concept, Ein Gozu Gzeira L'Gzeira. So we have to understand, this is Erev Shabbos right now, where the tailor's carrying his needle. Now, let's say, so he carries it. What's the big deal? It's Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos, and there's no problem of carrying Erev Shabbos. So we don't make a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So number one is carrying Erev Shabbos isn't a problem, and number two is, and if you forgot about it, look what Tosfos writes. He says, "Ein lefarish shema yishach ha-machat." Don't say that maybe the machat for the chayit, the tailor, forgot. The filu yata, even if he walks out now, leka isa deraisa, k'di isa beperek beis the baba kama hikir bava shachal inin Shabbos pater milachas machshavas asatara. So even if the guy forgets, if he's Mesasek is if a guy is just going about his business and doesn't realize what he's doing, that's only an Issur Midrabanan. Mesasek is pater from Shabbos. It says, Melechas Machsheves Asatar. You have to be aware of what you're doing. So even if the Chai goes ahead and ends up carrying on Shabbos, not being aware, that's at worst Mesasek. So Tosfos says, what's the problem? Shem Yishach HaSamacha Latznio Ad Sheh Shabbos. So maybe the tailor's going to forget to hide the needle. Then maybe he's going to remember that he has the needle, but then he's going to forget it's Shabbos, and he might end up carrying on Shabbos itself as a case of a shogeg, not a masasek, but a shogeg, forgetting the Shabbos, that's the concern, something more serious. So Tosfos point, rather, Rav Yashar points out here something very, very interesting. He says, based on this we see, even though the person is in masasek, and carrying the needle, we should still stop him from carrying the needle. That's why we instituted such a gzera. So he says, what would the din be if, let's say, people assume the Erev was up? It was up, and then they found out the Erev was down. Do you have the obligation to go ahead and tell the tzibur on Shabbos that the Erev is down? Or can you let them be shogeg and better for them not to know? It'll be masasik, ba'alma. Masasik means they're going about their business. They don't know any better, and let them just go about their business. Everything will be fine. Rabbi Yashu says that even though being masasik b'Shabbos is not a melechas machshavas, and even though it's not iser midiraisa, it still is an iser midirabanim, and therefore one would have to tell them not to do it. Now, even though they're going to be people who are not going to listen anyways, and for them, it's going to be, we have the concept mutav shushogi and vayu mezidim, rather better for them to be doing something b'shogi than mezid, but there are those people who want to be doing the right thing, and we want them to know. So therefore, for those who are going to listen, we must tell the tzibur that the air is down, because otherwise, even though it's only misasek, it will still be an iser midirabanim across the board. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. We are at the last two lines of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Tanan Hasam. A person should not be urinating while he's standing in Rishis Yachid, and he's right at the border of Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim. He's holding some type of pail, and the individual is being mashed into the Rishis Rabim. He shouldn't do that. Or he shouldn't be standing in Rishis Rabim, the Yishtab Rishis Yachid, and then in the other direction either. Because, no, I'm sorry, this is not talking about urinating, this is sort of talking about drinking style, I'm sorry. So the person should not be standing with Shisar Yachid and then holding a cleat to drink from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. He shouldn't be standing with Shisar Rabbim and drink while the pail is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The reason is because we're concerned, perhaps he's going to bring the cleat to him, and he's now going to be carrying from Rosh Hashanah, one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, which would be a violation of Otsa. But if he's putting his head where his, and most of his body into the rishus where the pail is, that would be fine. It just can't be where his body and pail are different rishus. But if the head and most of the body is in the same rishus where that pail is, then he would be allowed to drink. So then the Gemara says on the very top of Amud Beis here, the gas. So too, when it comes to a gas, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, but a gas means a wine press. When a wine press, the same exact deed applies. So we'll have to get back to what that means exactly by the gas. So the Gemara says, Ibarilu, karmelis mai. What about a karmelis? We said that did by Rishisa Yachid and Rishisa Rabin, you shouldn't be in two different domains. But what about, let's say, the guy is, if you look at Rashi in the top here, karmelis could go in Bika. There's an open field, which is at worst a karmelis, which is there, but on Aser, Lahachnis Lahotzi. You can't go from Rishisa Yachid to a karmelis. Mahu, what's the din, says Rashi, Lamud Rishisa Yachid or Rishisa Rabin, the Yoshid Rosho, Lichachila, the Tochavisha. Can a person stand in Rishisa Yachid and put his head, not his body, but just his head alone to drink while in the karmelis? Would that be allowed, or would that be the same gzeira, just like by Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's aser, unless most of the body is in the same domain, or not. Was the same gzeira in place here? So the Gemara says, it's a machlokas. So Amar Abai, Abai says, hehe, the same exact machlokas. Just like we asered a person standing around Rosh Hashanah and drinking from the other Rosh Hashanah, so too, by a karmelis, we have the same gzeira. So it comes along Rava. Rava says, Amar, hehe, gufa gzeira, vana nekam v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. No, we have a concept throughout all of Shas, ein Gozvin, Gzeira, Al Gzeira. We don't make a double decree. We don't make a double Gzeira. So the very concern of a person standing with Shisha Yachin and drinking from a Shisha Rabbin or vice versa, that itself is a Gzeira. There's no problem fundamentally doing that. But that was a Gzeira, lest a person come to pull the pail to where he's standing. But that itself, drinking alone in that current state, is a Gzeira. And now a karmelis would be a second level of a gzera. So ein gozin gzera l'gzera. We don't make double gzera. So this gzera would only be shaykh to Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but it wouldn't be shaykh to a karmelis. That's the understanding of Rava. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Menat minilah. How do I know that's true? Dikatani v'chein begas. From the very fact that it says v'chein begas, that's my indicator. What do you mean v'chein begas? It's a very cryptic statement. So he explains. When it says in the Mishnah that you can't drink from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim or vice versa, and then it says so too by a gas. So Baye, who says the Gzeira applies to Karmelis as well, what does Gas mean? What's the area of a Gas? My Gas. Rishus HaYachid, if it's referring to Rishus HaYachid, Tanina, we have a din, we already learned Rishus HaYachid. And Rishus HaRabim, Tanina, we also learned by Rishus HaRabim. So what's being added by the V'chein Bagas that wasn't already mentioned? El Alav, Karmelis must be referring to a Karmelis, that the V'chein Bagas, so too, when it comes to a Karmelis, the same Gzeira would be in place. Now even though it doesn't address why it's not a problem of Ein Gozen Gzeira Gzeira, he does at least have a textual proof that a Karmelis was subject to the same exact Gzeira. Now normally when we have a problem of Ein Gozen Gzeira Gzeira, oftentimes we answer Kulacha the Gzeira. Sometimes that the Gzeira was instituted at one time to include multiple levels of a Gzeira. So since it was Kula Chada Gzeira, that might be the way around of saying that the Karmelis was included in the initial Gzeira. Now look at Tosus, a short Tosus on the side here, Ella, Lav Karmelis. He says, V'afagav de'en Karmelis b'kelim, high gas, even though Karmelis is a domain, it's an area, it's property, it's not a keli. A gas, which is a wine press, seems to be a keli, it's a vessel, it's a utensil. So v'afagav de'ein karmelis b'kelim, even though there's no din of a karmelis by kelim, by movable objects, high gas kevud de mechuba l'karka lo shmei kli. Since this gas is connected to the ground, it's not called a kli, it's considered the karka, it's considered a domain, and therefore it has a din of a karmelis. So now the Gemara says, back inside, Rava, who says that no, that karmelis is not subject to this gzeira, a person would be allowed to drink while standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid adjacent to a karmelis. So what does he say? Rav Amar, v'chein begas linen ma'isr. When the Gemara says v'chein begas had nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos at all. It wasn't including a karmelis. It was a completely different topic. It's referring to linen ma'isr. What does it mean linen ma'isr? So we'll just read through this the line here that Rav Amar again v'chein begas linen ma'isr v'chein Amar of Sheshes v'chein begas linen ma'isr. The time. What's the din of ma'isr? Shosin al agas. There's a din by ma'isr that if a person is eating a chilitz arai, if you're eating some snack. So there's no requirement to take ma'aser. The only time ma'aser is needed is once all the different melachos, all the different stages of the process of cutting and packing and making the piles, at that point when there's a gemar melacha, would there be a chiyah ma'aser. But somewhere along the process, a person just snacking before the gemar melacha, you're allowed to eat without having to take ma'aser. So the din is, a shos na'agas, a person is busy at the wine press, he's allowed to drink from the wine a little bit. Bein al-achamim, bein al-tzonin, whether or not he, you know, diluted the wine with some warm water or with cold water, doesn't make a difference. It's still before the process has been complete. He's potter, the Rebbe Meir, he's potter from having to take ma'aser. He could drink it, even though it's diluted with cold or warm water. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok, Mechayiv, he says no. When a person is snacking, once you diluted this with water, whether it be cold or warm water, you're chayiv to take ma'aser. That's not called a snack. That's already considered a gemar melacha. We'll look at Rashi in just a moment. And Chachamim Omrim, ala chamim chayiv, ala tzonin potter, mipnei shum achzer esamosa. So he says, no, it depends what type of water you're mixing the wine with. If you're mixing the wine if you're mixing the wine with hot water, so then once you put the wine in hot water, you can't return it back to the wine press. That hot water is going to ruin, it's going to cause everything to ferment in a bad way. So once you put hot water, that shows it's a gemara malacha, you can't return it back. But if you only diluted the water with cold water, whereby any leftovers you could put back in the wine press, that would be patur, because that's considered achilas arai, that's not considered gemara malacha. That's in essence what's going on here. So if you look at Rashi, just to put everything together, Rashi says we're around seven narrow lines down in Rashi. Rashi explains linen meiser. The shtia al hagas mamish shel aku misham lehotzi chutzah havishtia sarat. The guy's mamish drinking at the wine press. He's not putting in a cup and walking elsewhere. He's snacking along the workday. Upatim imaiser calls manchelo yared labor. As long as the wine didn't drip down to the pit that caught all the wine, that's still considered before the zman of gemar malacha. Shu gemar malacha lemaiser. When it falls to the boar, that's the gemar malacha. Now you have to take meiser. He was drinking the wine before it trickled down to the boar. If you take it out of the wine press area, that would be keva. Because once you remove the wine from the wine press area, you don't have intent on bringing it back. That's called gemar malacha. It's still aser at that point. So the din would be, that's what's going on here. When it says, we're referring to here that if a person is drinking the gas, as long as he stays within the area of the wine press, it's allowed. But if he somehow is standing in the area of the gas, but puts the wine outside the gas area, he's drinking in two different rishios, that's already considered as if it left the rishios, the gas, and that's called a gemar malacha, and he'd be chayiv to take maaser. So that's the comparison. Nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos at all, nothing to do with Hilchos, the din of karmelis, rather a din and maaser, completely separate, yet a similar type of model. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Amun Aleph, Tanan. We said the Mishnah lo yatsa chay be'machto samuch l'chashecha shem yishkach v'yatsa. We said that a tailor shouldn't walk around holding a needle close to Shabbos because perhaps he might forget and end up carrying on Shabbos. So my lav the tchufalo be'bigdo is not a situation where he has the needle that's he threaded it through his coat or his shirt. Not he's carrying it in his hand, but he's wearing it on his coat. So we see if you look at Rashi, Rashi is my lav the tchufa be'bigdo. That's not the normal way to carry it. You carry a needle holding it in your hand. You don't carry it while it's threaded through your cloth. And even if he does carry it that way when it's dark, it's a shvus ba'ama because that's not a normal way to carry it. And we see, we do have a gzera gzera. Alma gazrinan l'isr Shabbos gzera l'gzera. Why? Because we say carrying it itself when it's threaded through the cloth, that's only a shvus ba'ama on Shabbos. And then we say, even though that's a shvus, we say don't carry it that way, even an erev Shabbos. It's a gzeira al gzeira. So we said above that according to Rava, ain't goes in gzeira al gzeira. But here, by the case of a tailor carrying, we say we are goes in gzeira al gzeira. So back inside the Gemara says, lo, dinokale biyale. We're not talking about where the needle was in his shirt. We're talking about where he was actually carrying the needle in his hand. So carrying the needle in his hand, that would be hotza midiraisa on Shabbos. So we are goes in one gzeira, not to carry an erev Shabbos that way. If he had it tchuva bebigdo, which would be shalod b'derech hotzah, that would not be bechlal the gzeira on erev Shabbos. Mara says tashma lo yatsa chay b'machto tchuva lo bebigdo. A tailor can't walk outside with the needle that's threaded through his cloth. So it doesn't say when it's referring to. So my lav erev Shabbos is not referring to even erev Shabbos. So we see from here that this is a case where he's not carrying it in his hand; rather, he's wearing it while it's threaded through his cloth. And yet we still see that the gzeira existed on erev Shabbos, so we are goes in gzeira gzeira. Gemara says lo, kitanya hi b'Shabbos. That brisa says that a chayit shouldn't carry a tchuva lo bevigdo. It's talking about on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, granted, when you're carrying something b'shino, it's not an issur midiraisa, but still it's an issur midirabanan. So you shouldn't have the needle tchuva lo bevigdo on Shabbos. But in a chanami on erev Shabbos, that wasn't bechlal the gzeira because that would be a double gzeira. So Gemara then says, "V'hat tanya," but doesn't the Braisa clearly say, "Lo yotze ha'chayit b'machto ha'tchuva b'vigdo be'erev Shabbos m'chashecha"? The Braisa clearly says that a tailor shouldn't carry a needle when it's threaded through his cloth, and even though it's erev Shabbos, he can't do this. So we see in erev Shabbos, the gzera to carry in such a way is still in place. Why is that? If carrying b'vigdo is only a shvus, and carrying erev Shabbos is another gzera, isn't that ain goes in gzera, gzera? And the Gemara says, "No, ha'mani Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda?" When a professional worker carries in the normal way that they carry, that's called derech hotza. What does that mean? a chayit, a tailor, can't walk around on Shabbos with a needle threaded through his clothing. That's how tailors carry needles, when it's in their shirt, in their coat. That's called derech hotza. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Uman hamoti derech umnaso shiragi lates leprakim kein b'chol chayiv. The person carries that way during the week. So if he does this on Shabbos, he's chayiv. The hasha lididei, because for him and his trade, lek elachad gzeira, the gazin tzamech lechashecha ata chashecha. For him, as a tailor, since it's normal to carry needles when it's threaded through the cloth, through the shirt, so therefore it would be aser on Shabbos. So the gzeira on Erev Shabbos would be in place as well, because it's only one gzeira for the profession. And then it says further, v'lo nagar b'kisem shebe'ozno, the carpenter shouldn't be walking around with a little piece of wood or behind his ear, some type of measuring thing. He shouldn't walk behind his ear because that was normal for him. It was Rashi explains it's some type of thing they would make lines in the sefer, like a sirtut of some sort, somehow to even out things as a carpenter. One of his tools he would use. So that he can't carry because that's normal for him. And the person who would kind of color or make clothing, he shouldn't walk around with some type of thing he used to tie. I'm not sure exactly what the metzias here is. V'lo gardi be'ir shebe'ozno, and this is some type of weaver. They shouldn't walk around with some type of tool he used to keep it behind his ear, one of his instruments and equipment. V'lo tava bedugmo shebe'tzavaro, or a painter shouldn't walk around with like a list of paint colors, because all these things, lo shulchani bedinar shebe'ozno, and a money changer would walk around with a type of coin behind his ear. All these things are the derech umnaso. He shouldn't do this lechachila on erev Shabbos. Vim yatsa pater v'alaser. If he walks out on Shabbos such a way, divi Rabbi Meir. This is pater v'alaser. It's not awesome for the Raisa, but Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Omer uman derech umnaso chayiv v'shar kol adam pater. If the professional painter, the professional carpenter, the professional tailor, and so on, if they were to walk around with this hanging around their neck or around their ear, since that's normal for them, that would be a chiyuv midiraisa. For all others, for non-professionals to walk around with a pencil behind the ear, for example, they would actually be pater. So Rabbi Huda is the author of the Braisa that says that yes, for a tailor to walk out on Erev Shabbos with a needle tucked in his begging, that would be an Isser Midirbanan, because that's one Gzera, because had he done this on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Huda, he'd actually be Chayiv Midiraisa. Okay, back inside, the Gemara says as follows. It's actually an interesting din, Halach L'maisa, about carrying things on Erev Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch brings the din down. Not only a tailor can't carry these things on Erev Shabbos, but any object, the person can't carry any object on Erev Shabbos, lest he end up carrying on Shabbos itself. And the Be'er Halacha says that Isser kicks in already 30 minutes before Shkia. You can't carry anything outside. So now, for us, Bizman is there where we have an Erev, that's not an issue. Because if you could carry on Shabbos, so certainly you could carry on Erev Shabbos. But let's say you're in an area where there is no Erev, so there's a Gzeira based on this Mishnah that you should not carry 30 minutes before anything outside. Shouldn't be carried. So all the Mefarshim struggle, well, how come apparently the practice is pretty prevalent, even when there's no Erev, to carry things Erev Shabbos, to bring a Siddur to Shul, for example? Why is that allowed? So the Magen Avraham explains that because Bizman Azeh, there's no Rishus Rabim. There's no area that qualifies. At worst, it's going to be karmless, and therefore the gzera is not in place. That's the understanding of the Magen Avraham. But the Mishnah Berurah still holds that he thinks, according to many poskim, and the Shulchan Aruch included, that there is a concept of Rishus Rabim, and therefore he thinks the gzera is still in place. So in those places that have no Erev, why are they allowed to carry a Siddur to Shul within 30 minutes to Shkia? So there are a number of answers that are brought. One answer is that because really, if you hold a Rabbeinu Tam, the Matzah Shabbos, you end 72 minutes. So really, Erev Shabbos as well, even though we're machmer to start Shabbos earlier, if you hold a Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos doesn't really start till later, and therefore the Gezerah isn't in place. It's only true if you really hold a Rabbeinu Tam, Matzah Shabbos, could you rely on the Seter. The other explanation the Stiper says is because this Gezerah of carrying needles or carrying Sidura, rather than carrying objects, was only true when it wasn't Letzarech Mitzvah. If you're carrying something Letzarech Mitzvah, such as a Siddur, so then the Stiper felt that this Gezerah wouldn't be in place, and therefore would be allowed to bring a Siddur or a Sefer to Shul and Erev Shabbos in a place where there is no Erev. Back inside the Gemara now, we're in the last 15 lines or so. Tani Chada, Lo Yatza Zav Bekiso, Zav, which is a man who has a certain emission, we make some Tameh. He is not allowed to walk out with a kisa, some type of bag, to catch any ziva that might come out. Vim yatza, pater valasr. If he does, however, come out, so then he's going to be pater, but also to do so. Vitani idach, the other braisa says, lo yatza, vim yatza chayv chatas. The other braisa says that he shouldn't go out, and if he does go out, he's actually violating a din deraisa. So, are you chayv midiraisa, or this is only an isra midirbanan for Zav to walk out with holding this kiss? So Amar Rav Yosef lo kasher harabi meir harabi Yehuda. Depends. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Uman derechum nasa chayiv. So for the zav, this is his derechum nasa. This is what he has to do to have a kiss to make sure no ziva comes out and falls on the ground or gets himself dirty. So that's derechum nasa. He's chayiv. But according to the first opinion, the Rabbi Meir holds that this is an abnormal way to carry things, and therefore everyone it would be pater according to Rabbi Meir. So comes along now Amar Rav Yosef lo kasher. So rather Amar le Abaye. Abaye says Amar the shmaslei the Rabbi Meir. Granted, Rabbi Meir said, when a person carried something in an abnormal way, he's pater. When a non-professional carries a pencil behind his ear, or carries a coin behind his ear, or whatever he's carrying. So granted, when it's lava orche, when it's not normal, he's pater. But would he say this by something that would be normal? For a zav, to carry a kiss, that's normal for a zav. He has to do that. That's called orche. Even Rabbi Meir would agree, if it's orche, he would be chayv chatas. So d'ilo temahach, we don't say this, el meata, if you have a non-professional kind of carve out a little hole in some type of beam and he carries it on Shabbos, would he say he's not chayiv? Would that not be chayiv? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here two Y lines down, look at the Rashi four lines down. Shechaka kav v'bikas. That hole ve'eino uman, since he's not a worker, just a non-professional, carved out a little hole in a beam. Vein derech hakika b'kach. That's not a normal way to do things. Hachanami de pater. Would he be pater? Rav Meir. Im kein, lo mechai Rav Meir b'shabbos ela umnim. Meaning he's not talking about carrying. He's referring to a person carving out a hole in a beam. Now, the din of orche, of shinui, doesn't only apply to hotza. Granted, we're talking about hotza. But this would be true of any melacha. So does that mean any time a non-professional does a weird thing, he doesn't violate malacha? So that would hard to say that. So even he would agree that not only professionals are chayiv, whenever something is considered orch, whenever something is normal, one would be chayiv. So here as well, since for the zav, it's normal for him to carry the kiss, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you would be chayiv. So Ella Amar Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna says, lo kasha, kan bezav bal shtei rios, kan bezav bal shlosh rios. So one's referring to a zav who saw only two times, and one is a zav who saw already three times. What's the difference? So the difference is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, zav bal shtei rios, a zav who saw only two times, two emissions, chayv, lefi shehichnis shehikis, tzarech lo livdok atma imira od shlishis via zav gamar lekarbon. The din is that when a man sees two emissions, two zivos, he has a full din of tuma ziva, but he doesn't bring a carbon until he sees a third ziva. So he needs to always inspect whether there's more ziva coming out. So that's necessary for him to carry. As opposed to a zav who saw already three times is ready chayv a carbon, seeing more times is really of no relevance to him, and therefore it's lav orche, and therefore pot. So the Gemara then says, Ma'ishna zav bal shtei rios, the chayv. So what's the reason why a zav who saw two times, if he carries a kiss on Shabbos, he's chayv a chatas? Because he needs to check to see if there's a third time, and it's chayv a carbon or not a third time. Zav bal shlosha, a zav who already saw three times, and is now tamei 7 days, and he's chayv a carbon already. He needs to know, because he has to count. Because after the zav, when he no longer sees ziva, he's now no longer tamei, he needs to count shiva nikim. So he has to inspect every single day, is there ziva or not ziva. If he sees ziva, it's so certain, it contradicts the dates. He needs to have shiva nikim. So he also has to be aware, granted that more ziva, he's already as tamei as he could possibly be. He's already chayv a carbon, but he has to know to become tohor to be aware what's going on. So he also should be chayv, carrying the kiss would also be orchid. And so the Gemara says, "Lo nitzcha ela li bo bayom." This is only true on bo bayom, meaning what? If he saw the day three is on Shabbos, so you can't count the day three when he saw ziva. Can be shivan akim. If he doesn't see the rest of the day, that doesn't count as shivan akim. You have to wait until Sunday for the first day of shivan akim. So for the remainder of that third day where he saw the ziva, that kiss is really unnecessary, and therefore by him carrying it is lav orchem. So the Gemara then says, but doesn't he still need to wear the kiss so that the ziva doesn't ruin and dirty the rest of his begadim? So it is still necessary. So Amar Rebbe Zeira, Rebbe Zeira says, "Hi Tanahu, Damar, this is the following brisa: Latzul kol latzule tinaf lo kachashiv. Whatever is being used, whatever is being instituted or utilized to prevent something from getting dirty, is not considered something significant, and therefore it's not considered carried." And the Gemara brings a raya for this point. How do you know that which is being used to protect from getting dirty is not chashiv? We don't really acknowledge it. So bring it based on a raya by Tumah Vatara, completely different context. The Tzan, the Mishnah tells us, Hakofa Karu, just a quick background for a second. The way it works when food is susceptible to Tumah, food needs to come into contact with one of the seven liquids, which is honey and water and dew and milk and oil and blood and wine. So these things require that if a person were to touch an apple, then apple could only become tame if the apple first came into contact with one of the seven liquids. Now, when the seven liquids touch the apple, it has to be where the owner of the apple was aware and happy and satisfied that it got wet. You want your apple sometimes to get wet. It's good for it. So if you're aware of it and you're happy with it, and then after becoming wet, a person who's tame, a nevela, a sheretz, a mace, touches the apple, then the apple will become tame. But at first, it has to have that prerequisite of coming to contact with one of the shivamashim. So in that discussion, the Mishnah says that tan hakofa kar, a person takes some type of a bowl, kosa, puts it on the wall, and so now it's raining on the wall. Im bishvil shetudach, if you put it there, so hakara, so that the bowl should get all clean from the rainwater. Bechayutan is a pasuk that tells me that you're aware of you're happy with the water that's there, you want it to get wet, and therefore, if that water falls onto fruit, so that fruit would now be susceptible to tumah, because I want the water to clean the kara, so then it would be considered chayutan, that would be in my liking. If I put the bowl or plate there on the wall, shel yilka kosa, I didn't do it for the purpose of the water. I didn't do it for the purpose of the plate. I did it to protect the wall. I don't know, I had a crack in my wall. I didn't want the water coming in. I didn't want the water ruining it. I put it there as a protection. So then there would be eno bichlal bichyutan. That would not be bichlal chayutan. So we see, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, shelo yilka, tainu atzule tinuf. My goal, my intention of putting the bowl there was to protect the wall from getting dirty, lo chashalei hachfias, and then the water that's there is not considerable. So too, if I don't care about the water when the plate is simply there to protect from getting dirty, here too, when the zav is carrying the kiss, he's carrying to make sure he doesn't get dirty, so too it's not considered a chashiv, and therefore would not be a violation of carrying on Shabbos. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue this piece discussion tomorrow.